Hallelujah. Jesus is the healer. He is the one that comes. He is the one who says every day when you rise in the morning, he says, I'm the one that gives you breath and life in your body. Can't be denied. He said, I cannot be denied. I will not be denied. You may look at your circumstances and it may be bleak. You may look at your circumstances and you may say, I may be in pain, or I may have something that I'm feeling that's discomfort, or I may have a situation that's brewing and the enemy is trying to strike me down. He's come with his wiles. He's come with his deception and his delusion. You may look at a circumstance, but guess what? God is greater than our circumstances. All you have to do is trust. Trust him. Trust God to bring you out again. Now, for those who are Christians, it's inevitable. You cannot deny him. You can't go back and say, okay, God, I don't trust you. I want to have doubt right now and don't want to believe in you. It's impossible for us as believers who are believers in Christ. That's why we're called Christians, because we believe, right? It's impossible for us to say anything else. He may come for my life as he did with Job. He may come for my family. He may come for all that I have. The enemy may come, is what I'm saying. He may come for all of that. But regardless of what he does to me, I know this. I'll say like the three Hebrew boys were in the fire. He said, though I stand here, and though even if God doesn't come to deliver me, I will not hold back my faith and trust in him. I'm still going to trust him. They may take my legs. They may take my eyes. They may take all I have, but I'm still going to trust him. Why? Because he is the only hope. He is the only hope. There's no other. Try another way, if you will, and you will soon learn, I must trust in Jesus. I must trust in him. I'll tell you, I'm a little on fire this morning. I don't know if I can slow down a little bit here. Oh, my God. So I bought all my books here because I'm dependent on the Spirit of God to tell me what he wants to sell to you. I've been studying. I've been praying. And I'm going to let you know that God is a good God. Amen. There is no one like him in all the earth. Hallelujah. Last week, if you were here, the Spirit of God allowed me to minister and I talked to you. I gave you two kind of nuggets or two kind of principles that I believe that God wants us as true believers to have. That first principle, I spent a lot of time with it. Anybody remember what it is? That if we are Christians, then we are to devote ourselves in getting the results that are found in the Word of God. If you are a Christian, I don't want to have any other results in my life other than what Jesus said. When I pray, I want him to answer me. When I seek, I want to find. When he says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, I want him to do that. I want to receive the results that I see in the Word of God about me, what Paul writes about me, what all the writers of the New Testament says that I am who I am. I want to be a product of the Word of God. But in order for you to do that, you and I, to be a product of this Word, for one thing, we've already received salvation, right? We've already come to Jesus and we've already believed and trusted in him, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10, you know, if you believe in God, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, God has raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So we did that. We did that because the Word told us to do it. We believe that because the Word says that we would be saved if we did that. So we confessed and we believed in our heart, we confessed with our mouth, and we believed. So we received salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? Whosoever believeth in me. We believe in him, so we have everlasting life. Everybody can agree with that, can we? You have everlasting life. Your eternal life began the moment you said, yes, Lord, I believe. From that point on, death had no power over you. And when you do leave your body, you will step over into eternity. Aren't you happy about that? Oh my God, that's just great. You know, some of us will get there earlier than others. Some of us have to wait a little longer. But that's all right. Isn't that all right? All right. I gotta. So the first principle last week was you decide You determine, you make a decision right now. God, I'm only going to trust in your word. I'm going to get my result from you. So if something happens to me, I'm going to the word. If something happens to me that I don't understand, I'm calling on Jesus. Help me, Lord. Now, some people think you need more than that. You got to have a scripture. You got to memorize it and got to say it just right before God speaks to you. But the Bible tells me, he says, if those who call on me, help. He said, what? He already said he sent the comforter. He sent the standby. His name is even called Helper. He sent him to do what? Help us. Now, I talked about this last time because I want you to understand something. God is a magnificent, he's a great and all-powerful God, right? He's a spiritual being. He is something that's other than what we are and what we see ourselves in the earth. Amen? Everybody can see that. He's great. He knows more. He can do more. You know, he's big. He's mighty. He's strong. Why is then he expecting you to do everything? Some of you think you do. Oh, I got to do it. Well, if I don't pray just right. And God is looking at you like, wait a minute. All of the unction, all of the responsibility really resides on me. Because he's the one that spoke the word. You didn't speak it. You didn't say, if you seek me, you will find me. You didn't say, if you ask anything in my name, I give it to you. You didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said that. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. So why are you then trying to do it? We do what he said. We do what the word says. And then we wait on him to do whatever he said he'd do. If he doesn't do it, then all of the heavens and the earth will fall apart because that's his word. And he's not going to let his name be ruined just because of little old you. Come on now. So remember this. Your first thing as a Christian, and sometimes Christians don't do this, and because we're obeying Christ, we don't know all the time how to go about our relationship with God. But the first thing you must do, you have to determine, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go see a doctor or you can't go to a dentist or you can't go somewhere else or whatever God is leading you in some of those things that are happening to you. It doesn't mean that. It just means that the first place that you go is to Jesus. Do you hear me? Because you are his. How do you know, Brittany gave a testimony this morning, how do you know that the simple prayer that you pray is not going to already satisfy God in your faith? You go to the doctor and he confirms that God has healed you. How do you know that won't happen? You don't know because he's the greater one. So you stand where God stands. I'm standing on your word, God. But you have to make a determination that you're going to do that. Now, what's going to happen is the devil's going to come to try to shake your foundation. Yes, he is. He's going to come to tempt you, to cause you not to believe that. That's his job. That's what he does. He's a roaring lion. He seeks in whom he will devour in the earth. He's to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all what he's about. Jesus has already defeated him. The Jesus that's on the inside of you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, has already defeated all of the wiles of the devil. All of the wiles of the devil. The Bible pastor taught on the arm of God, put you on the whole arm of God. Why? So that you can stand and, oh, don't all stand, and what else? Defeat the wiles of the devil. Defeat the enemy. That's how you put on armor. We war not against principalities and powers of the air, right? Well, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, those strongholds which the enemy tries to rise up in us. This is what I'm saying. So we know this, but we have to make that determination. The first time I can think about that I did this, I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to, well, that wasn't the first time. It was just one time. I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to deny God his truth. He said, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. In all your ways, acknowledge me. In all your ways, acknowledge me. And he said, then I will direct your path. Acknowledge him in all your ways. What are you looking for today? What are you seeking after today? at that particular time, I think is what I was trying to tell you, is I was seeking a promotion on my job, and they had come to me and told me that there was one available. And as I usually do, you know, you pray and say, okay, God, thank you for the promotion and the increase and blah, blah, blah. And as I was about to step away from that prayer, the Holy Spirit said this: acknowledge me in all your ways. Acknowledge me. Father, I'm acknowledging you. I'm saying, Father, that I believe and trust in you. He said, stand on the word of God. Trust in me and not in your own understanding. See, my own understanding was, even though I said that, my own understanding was saying, well, they've done this time and time again. They've asked me about these promotions. They come and they said this, blah, 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 and they've swept it away right from under my feet. And I was like, what is going on? And God says, you're not standing on my word. So as I was speaking to them in my heart, I was confirming to myself, Father, I'm standing on your word. I'm not going to let go of what you said, that you're going to acknowledge, that I'm going to acknowledge you, and you're going to direct my path. You're directing my path. And he said this to me after that. He said, well, don't you open your mouth. And this is important, because a lot of times this is what happens to us. We'll get ourselves a word from God, and then we'll let our mouth take away our faith. We'll speak something out of our mouth that's not true. We'll say something like, I just mentioned to you, well, you know, before it didn't happen, you know, before they just took it away from me. Or we'll say something crazy like, well, last time I had to go to the doctor, and you know, when this happened. Or, you know, last time I had to take this or take that. You know, we'll speak it out of our mouth. And it may even be in testimony, think about it, to a friend that called you. Oh, I got this pain in my back. Yeah, it started hurting me this morning, and I think I'm probably going to have to go and do what I did last time, lay down a little bit, blah, blah. You speak out against what the word of God is saying. So he says what? Put a guard over your mind, right? Pull down imaginations and things that exalt itself against the word of God. We're supposed to pull those down. Those thoughts that come to us, just pull them down. As simple as, I'm just not going to say anything until the opportunity that God's given me has passed, right? So I'm sitting there, and they're talking, and they're saying all this stuff, and they're looking at me as if they want a response from me. And God has said, don't you open your mouth. I said, oh, okay. And they're sitting there, and they're talking, and I'm sitting there going, I feel like I should say something. Don't say nothing. He said, don't say nothing. I'm not saying anything. So they get through, going through the whole little, we know we did this before, and we offered you this, blah, 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 and when you did this, and you accepted this, and, you know, last time, I know we didn't give you a raise, and blah, 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 and you, blah, blah, blah. You know, they went on and on and on. They talked themselves in a circle. I didn't say anything until they talked themselves into, well, I think this time we're going to give you a raise, and we're going to let you have more than what you had before. You know, and I was shocked. That was like, oh my God, a lesson taught. Amen? A lesson taught. Trust in the word of God. Don't waver back and forth. Don't say something that you don't believe. You don't even believe it when you say it. You just, oh, I just want to say it because it feels good. You know, my flesh feels good, you know, because it makes me feel good to say that. It makes me feel good, like, you know, say some crazy stuff. I don't know. Something that, you know, I'm going to say this. I don't want anybody to get under condemnation. But you say stuff like, well, I guess God wants me to be poor. What kind of nonsense is that? Where is it saying in your word? I'm sorry, I got this by. Where is it saying in your word that God wants you to be poor? He said that poor will be with you. But he said, you have to be poor. Now, everybody has a different measure of what poor is. And I'm sure that those of you who are billionaires look down upon us who are just millionaires. So you know, you got a different perspective. But anyway, we say some of the dumbest things. I want you to know something. If God wanted you to be poor, you would be poor. You couldn't stop him if he actually wanted that. If he wanted you to be so sick and so downtrodden and out that you were almost dead or dying, you would already be that. Don't come on, y'all. You can't stop him. You can't stop God. He don't want that. He doesn't say that in his word. But so our minds don't get like that.
He must be punishing me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I must have did something wrong. What did I do? What did I do wrong?
All you did was live the life that God gave you being a Christian, because the anointing of God rests on you, and the devil don't like you. He hates your guts. And he, every opportunity, he's going to slide in. He's going to do his best. We are in a spiritual war against him. Jesus said, I have come to root out all the enemy, all his doings, all his whatever that he tries to do. I've come to get him out of the earth. I've given you all the authority and power of the enemy. You have all authority and power over him. He said, well, what is this? It's a fight, man. Get your spiritual weapons on and go to town. Go to talking your Jesus word. I will live and not die. I'll stand here and proclaim the word. This cancer will not take me out. I will stand and I will proclaim the victories of my God. He will have a testimony in me, in my step, in my walk, in my life. I will be a proclaimer of God. He said, don't say that too loud, Kurt. The devil's going to come after you. He's already the defeated foe. He can come all he wants. He's already defeated. So I'm going to do what? Stand on the word of God. Somebody say, well, and I know it's easier said than done. Yes, I'm agreeing with you there. Easier said than done. Until you are faced with the enemy who operates through a person. Anybody had any of those? Any of those people come by your way? Anybody on the job? You just, this hates your gut, seems like. Says all manner of all kinds of crazy stuff. Come after you. Seems like they're coming after you. You kind of figure out, well, what did I do to them? I just love everybody. I'm a lovable person. I have the love of God. I be trying to love them. Bible tells us to love our enemies, right? And so we are loving everybody. We loving them. But they coming after you. They don't like you. They don't like, why they don't like you? Well, they have an influence that's guiding them. I'm going to tell you that for so you know. There is an influence that's guiding them. But they also have perceiving, that influence is perceiving the light that's in you. See, so we look in the mirror at ourselves, and we just say, that's Curtis, oh, that's Bob, that's Lou, whatever. And we say, oh, you look okay. You don't look too great, but you know, you're all right. But what they see is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They see the anointing of God on you. You are glowing to them. Remember, Moses came down from the mountain. He didn't know his face was shining. He just had the tablets. I come with the word. I don't know if he walked like this, but he came down the mountain. He didn't know. He did not know his face was shining like that. So we are the ones can't see that on ourselves. But I'm going to tell you something, because you have the power of God on inside of you. Because you have Jesus living in you, you are glowing to the enemy. And for those people that are picking on you, that's why they're picking. So you should get a big smile on your face. Because you know what? Because you win. They're not going to win. The Bible tells me that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All I got to do is keep loving, and God is going to take care of that situation. Now, some of us don't like that. They're going to keep whumping on my head. They're going to keep smacking me in my face. They're going to keep, knocking me down. And I got to get back up and just love them. You know, my wife is a testimony to that on her jobs that she's had. She's had supervisors. I just don't understand how the enemy thinks he can win. I really don't, you know. But she'll tell me this story. Of course, I'm not in her situation, so the anointing of God in that, I'm not in there. But she is, and the anointing of God is on her, and I hear her say some things, and I'm going, man, she said, what do you, I know I would have shot back some stuff about her or him. You know what I'm saying? You know, take up yourself and defend yourself, you know. Defend yourself, honey. She's like, the anointing of God is on her, and God is telling her, don't say nothing. I'll take care of it. I'll do this or that. I'm telling you, that's going to be some of the hardest things for you to do. One of the hardest things that you're going to be doing is when they come to you with all this junk, and they say, "God, why are they saying I'm a good guy? I don't dislike them. I'm praying for them every week. I'm praying for them to have life and to get a hold of Jesus and to walk in righteousness. And here they come. They come just shooting me down, cursing at me and calling me all kinds of names and telling me, you ain't worth nothing and blah, 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 blah." And you're going, "What is up? I don't want to be there. Nobody wants to be there." Well, let me tell you about Jesus. If you hold to his word, make this the final authority for you in your life. Just say it, "I'm going to make this word of God the final authority." We know that it has power. Pastors already taught us from 2 Timothy 3:16, where it talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why is it given? There's several reasons there why it's given. Let's just turn over there. Because I know you think I was going to preach the whole time and not give you at least one word. Third chapter, verse 16 says, "Every scripture is God-breathed," and I'm reading out of the Amplified, "it's given by his inspiration, profitable for," if you need instructions, you don't know how to do something, the word of God instructs you how to do it. "For reproof and conviction of sin," if you're walking in a way. Now, it'll do that on its own. You don't have to go seeking for conviction. You can just read the word and God will convict you if you have done something that needs convicting. The Holy Spirit is our convictor. He brings conviction with what? A way of temptation, a conviction, a way of escape, a way out, a redemption, because he's a redeemer. So he may say, "Oh, Becky, you did this wrong. You should have not done that." Right? But he's always going to come back with, "But I set it straight. Here's what you should do. Or here's what I want you to do." Redemption always comes. Always. Never let the conviction of the Holy Spirit will never leave you in condemnation. Condemnation, and I didn't say this. I know I taught on condemnation before, but I never said that condemnation is condemnation to hell. That's the full phrase. It's not this, "Oh, a bad feeling." No, condemnation is condemnation to hell. That's what that condemnation is. The condemnation that comes from your flesh is not just, "Oh, a bad feeling." It's the devil condemning you to hell, condemning you to no redemption, no restoration, no victory, no nothing, to death, hell. That's what condemnation is. That's why he wants you to stay away from it. That's why he said Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to do that. He came to restore you, to give you salvation, to lift you up, to cause you to walk in a high place and not in a low place. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit." So if you're walking in the Spirit, you should have no condemnation. So every scripture given you for instruction, for reproof and conviction, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. This is where we get hung up here. In holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. So the Word of God, he's come to set you right. He set me how I'm going to think. The Word of God is going to give me how I'm going to think. How are you supposed to think about this? Well, the word of God is going to give me how I'm going to think about that. Because if I think in the way that God wants me to think, then I'm going to have the results that God wants me to have. I've got to get myself situated to where I am looking to the word of God for all of my life. Why? Because you've given up all of your life. Now, some people who become Christians think that, I'm just signing on to a religion, a path, a way of life that is kind of prescribed for me, and I want to just walk in this Christian way. But what the Bible tells us for truth is when you become a Christian and you have said that you believe in God, that you have then given up yourself to him. You've given up your will. You've given up your way to follow after me. Then he said, "Deny yourself and follow after me." He said, right? Deny yourself. Deny what? Deny your will, who you are and follow after me. I know I'm kind of all over the place. And he says, and you don't belong to yourself, you belong to him. We miss that part, and so we think that we're just assigning a compartmental portion of our personality when we become Christian. I'm going to let the Christian viewpoint rule me, and so therefore I'm going to be nice all the time, and I think that's what the Christian people are supposed to be doing. You know, and you come to church because you think that's part of it, and you go, you know, I'm just going to do this. This is the life I'm going to live. Until the devourer comes, start picking at you. And you go, well, I don't know if I can love them. I can't forgive them for doing that. Oh, wait a minute. Where are the principles that you just said about God? Where are the principles you're supposed to be standing on? We have, as Christians, aligned ourselves with this truth, which means, now don't get a hold on me. If you're not doing this, don't say that I did it to you. I didn't do it to you. There's a lot in here. And we're saying that we've given ourselves to God and we want to understand his way. That means we got to go to this word every day. You got to be into the word of God. Now, I know that we have some things like we have devotionals and we have the little prayer scripture thingies. I can't remember what they call it these days. Where you get a scripture every morning and you read it and you say, I want to stand on this. And I'm not topping on any of that. But I'm telling you this. If you want to direct your life in the way that God wants you to go, you must get into the word every day. Now, there is something special I want to say to you about that. Get into the word every day. Some of us can't do that. We don't like reading. I heard somebody say they don't like to read. I said, what do you mean you don't like to read? God has given us this great word you like to read. Guess what we have today? We have audio books. You could get the Bible on audio. Woo! I think it's better. Why do you think it's better? Because the Bible tells me that hearing, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you hear the word of God, I advocate this even while you're reading the word, that you speak it out loud sometimes, because that builds your faith. Your trust in God comes from hearing the word of God. Why do you say that? Because think about what you're hearing in your head already. Doubt, unbelief, stuff that's already said against the word of God. And you need some power, some strength to fight against those thoughts, right? Speak the word out on yourself. Speak it out on yourself. Tell yourself over and over again. Mull it to you. Meditate on it. Let it sink down in your heart. I will believe what God says I'm going to be. I'm going to become who God says I'm going to be. Greatest he that's in me that's anywhere. I'm a more than an overcomer. I'm a conqueror through him who loves me. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I have the peace of God. I walk in love. I walk in life. I can't see what God is saying to me. God, open up my heart that I can perceive what is not going on in my life, that you can direct me. Let me hear your words constantly. Stay in the word of God in order for you to make it the final authority in life. We all want to get to the place where we memorize the whole thing. Hoo-hoo, any of those people in the audience here? That kind of know the word. Well, we have somebody with us. This was the second part of my sermon last week. I know I spent a lot of time. That was just the introduction to what I did last week. Second part is the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us the Comforter has come to help us, that we need to be. And I say this, and I know people, you know, have different beliefs about this, but I believe that we all need to make sure that we are baptized with the Spirit of truth on the inside of us. And the Bible tells us there's a evidence, there's a method, there's a way in which he does it. And I'm just saying, believe it until it happens. That's all I'm saying. If the Spirit of God says that you can have or speak in tongues and that's the way you have the baptism, I'm saying believe it until it happens. Why? Because God is a spiritual being. He's the one that says you need the Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Just because all of that I said just before in here. Because he's the bringer of the truth. He's the guider. He's the leader into all truth. without him, you're going to miss some things. Some things are not going to align right for you because he's the one that sets things in motion and sets them right and causes you to hear what you need to hear the right way. The Holy Spirit. He's the one that can tell the difference between a false prophet and a real prophet. He's the one that can discern the truth from any situation. He's the one that can reveal the hearts and the thoughts and the minds of the people around you so that you will know ahead of time what's going on. He's the one that does it. He's the one that can say, well, this sickness is not going to kill you. Hold on, I'm coming. Can give you hope when you're in despair. Can heal your broken heart. He's the one. Jesus is the one. The Holy Spirit is the one. You say, well, I don't want to speak in tongues. You want to deny yourself something that God has given so freely? It is something that he has testified of. And don't take my word on it. You go to the word. You pray. You pray and ask God about it. That's how I did it. I said, well, you know, God, they talking this. They sound like they foolish. That's foolishness. So I took it to my prayer time. By myself in the morning, praying, oh God, is this true? What are you talking here? What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's going on? What is, I don't understand. And I was reading the scriptures, and I said, I see that you said, that he said, I send you another comforter. He's sending you something else other than what you get when you were born again through salvation. And given salvation, he's sending you something else. He said, another comforter. So this is something else. On the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, you see that they received something other than what they had already had. That's all I'm saying. Go him and say, God, what is that? The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, he said, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to ask God to give it to you. So Jesus is the one says, I'm going to give you this. Seek it out. Now, why do you want to seek it out? You want to seek it out because you want to stay connected to whatever he's doing so that you can know what's happening, so that you can direct your life in the way that he wants you to go. I'm telling you, God is what? So this is common sense, and people think that sometimes I'm saying stuff, and I'm trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to give you some revelation on what I got, and it just makes sense. God is a spiritual being. He's a spirit. He is not flesh and blood like you and I. He's a spirit. So how are you going to understand him unless you get his spirit? Now, I want you to get some understanding here, because you got to go further. You got to go further. Some of you are stuck, and you need to go further. This is your unstuck time. Right here, this is your unstuck time. Common sense will tell you, if God is a spirit, something that's other than what I am and see myself as today in the flesh, that I have to get something from him to be able to understand his spirit. He tells us that in his word. Read the thing, man. Come on. Everybody has that reading ability. I spoke too soon. God said, not everybody has that. Okay, God. I'm sorry. But those of us who have gone and been educated, who have gone to schools and colleges and beyond, we know how to read. I remember Smith Wigglesworth, who did not know how to read when he started when he got saved. He stuttered. He didn't know how to read, and God taught him how to read by reading the Bible. So I know that it is possible. At least we know one man that it took place in. Smith Wigglesworth was a great man of God. They called him a father of faith. He had many signs and wonders and miracles. He raised people from the dead. That is a thing that's found in the Bible. I think he raised 21 people, something like that. But he's a great man of God. He has books out, and maybe you can seek it out, but he stood on the word of God. He stood, and he was encouraging others to do the same. But he talks about the Spirit, and he talks about Spirit just like I'm talking to you about it. You must determine that I'm going to do everything that's in here. And only you know. It's between you and God, not between me and you. I don't know nothing about it. I'm just preaching what the Spirit of God has put in my heart to do this morning and telling you that this thing must take place in you. Follow after him. Follow after him. Follow after him. We're disciples after God. We're taught ones after him. And I know sometimes, you know, when we were in college, I look at my pastor. When we were in college, people called us fanatics for following God. Because, man, you want to hear about Jesus, we're going to take out the Bible. We're going to preach it to you right there in 3 seconds flat. We were fanatics. We were running around. People said, what is wrong with those people over there? We were set on fire. We were set afire by the Holy Spirit. And we were sold on the fact that he wanted more of us, really, than we want of him. And that decision rests with us. We look around and we say, we're a small congregation and we can't really do much. We're small. What can we do? We ask the question, well, how can we grow? We say, why are we not growing? You know, we have those questions in our head, and, you know, they're put there. I want you to know, they're exalting themselves against their imaginations and exalting themselves against the word of God. God will bring whoever he sees fit to the congregation and grow this body as he sees fit. Now, if you say, I did this in prayer, if you say that he can't do it, then who are you? Are you God? Who says God can't use these 20 people right here to turn the city upside down? Well, what will happen? What can you imagine? What would happen? What could happen? Can you imagine what could happen? How would God even begin to even do that? I mean, I don't really know. I'm just sitting here, you know, thinking about this. I know he can do it because God can do anything. All things are possible to God through him who believes, right? If you are thinking that he can't do it, then that word is not true for you, right? All things are possible to God. Well, you can't say that. Well, but we're old. Some of us are 70. Some of us are 80. Some of us are. It came all over me. Jesus said, I'm the one who reigns. I'm the doer of this word, the one who rules. He said, why are you going to try to say something that's not true just because of how you look at yourself? Moses sent spies out into the land. The spies went out there and they said, oh, they came back. They're giants in the land. They're giants. Oh, my God. And we look like little teeny people in their sight. They're going to beat the snuff out of us. Isn't that what they said? They were looking at the giants and they were looking at themselves. Something that we do all the time. We look how big the situation is. I got this pain. Oh, and it's hurting. Oh, I got this whatever, and it's doing whatever. I got this boss, and blah, 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 blah. We're looking at it. We're looking at them, and we're looking at ourselves. Man, I can't do this. I mean, look at me. I'm 70 years old. I'm 80. What can I do, God? What can I do? But we know that there were two spies who went, and they say, yes! There are giants. They're big. They're mighty in the land. My God, they're big. And then he came out. Yes, we were little teeny grasshoppers in their sight. They said, oh, my God, we're so small. But then they said, but my God is able. Jesus is able to defeat the enemy. Let's hold on to him and go take the land. What in the world? Come on, y'all. Was that simple enough? That was simple enough. And I know, we make that, you know, Judas made a big sigh. Oh, okay. Because the giants are scary, y'all. Those are some scary dudes. That's some scary stuff happening. I'm telling you, I don't know if I want to go face up in front of them. You know what I'm saying? You got to put your armor on. You got to put your thing that's the spiritual, get your spiritual weapons together. You got to start reading your word and pumping yourself out. And I'm telling you, the more you do so, you become greater than your giant, than the giants. You see yourself in Jesus, and you will defeat the enemy every time. Not sometime, not, you know, here and there. You would defeat him every time. That should be like a shout for everybody. Oh, hallelujah, we're going to beat him every time. All right, so the word and the spirit go together. You have to make that determination. You have to make that decision that that's what you'll do. So I ended with this, and I didn't give you any scripture last time, so I want to give you some scripture on this, what I'm about to share with you. I got about five minutes, so hold on. I want to encourage you to rest in God, to rest in Jesus, to seek Him out. Don't falter. Get in your Word every day and go read that thing. I mean, I read it out loud, and I let it just sink in. Sometimes I don't know what it's doing, but my faith has increased. My joy has increased. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So your strength increases when you get the joy. The joy increases because you got the word. So you got the word and the joy, man, I'm telling you, I don't care what you got. You can overcome it all, right? Okay, Hebrews 4:12. This is the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrows, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The Word of God does that. Go turn over to 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. Praise and worship draws you closer to God. Not entering into praise and worship does not draw you closer to God. Does that make sense? If I praise and worship God, I'm going to be drawing closer to Him. The closer I get to Him, it's going to be considered, what? Communion and seeking Him out. That's why I enter into praise and worship. It's the one thing that I can start in my flesh, so to speak, and end up in the spirit. Can you get that? I mean, I feel like lifting my voice or lifting my hands or opening my mouth or praising Him and thanking Him for His goodness when I come in here on Sunday mornings. I might not sense that. I just don't feel like doing that. Or I might be in a place where God is just dismal. God is this small and my problems are this big, you know. I don't feel like it. I can't see Him. I don't know where He is. So I don't want to do it. But if you make yourself do what the Bible says, give Him the fruit of your lips and begin to magnify and praise Him, make a sacrifice of praise unto God, I'm telling you, God will get big and your problem will get small. Every time. Every time. You know, in couples therapy, and I'm married, so I know about couples therapy. The therapist will tell you, don't ever use words like never and always when you're talking about what your spouse does. They never do blah, blah, blah. Or they always do blah, blah, blah. Not supposed to do that. Because you don't know, right? You're not God. Not supposed to do that. So, you know, we learn a lesson in the couple's third to change our way of thinking so that we don't give, because those things are finite things. Those are things almost like condemnation kind of things. You always or you never, it's almost like I condemn you to hell. And you don't want to do that. So you never say those words in when you're having a discussion with your spouse. But with God, we can say always, and we can say never. You can say it all the time. You can say it anytime you want to, because I'm telling you, it's the truth. God always will deliver you. He always will set you free. He will never deny your faith. Never. Woo! Didn't that feel good? If you gotta say it, just say it about God. So anyway, he says he'll draw those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. I'm going to seek God whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to pray whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to go to God whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to diligently seek him because he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there's another place where he talks about rewards. Do you guys know? In the Bible, there's another place where God talks about rewards. He said that if you go to your secret place and you pray in secret, then God will reward you openly. Matthew 6, 2 through 6, Luke 6, 35. He will reward you openly. So you're being rewarded, first of all, because you're seeking him diligently, right? Second of all, because you're praying. I'm praying and God's going to reward me. So the thing that I wanted to talk to you about is sometimes we don't understand that I can't go to God because I get a reward. Remember the Bible where it tells about the word of God dividing between our soul and thought, giving us the intentions of our heart. It'll let us know what's going on. My intention cannot be that I'm going to get a reward from God. Therefore, I come to church and I praise and sing. Therefore, I go and I pray because I'm going to get a reward from God. He's going to bless me. He's going to heal me if I do all of these things. What's that sound like? Come on. I know this is the meat. You guys want to be grown up? This is the meat of the Word of God. If I'm seeking God, if I'm going after him for a reward, then I am working for my salvation. He said, you're working. He said, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. He said, you may have prophesied in my name. You may have healed in my name. You may have done signs and wonders in my name. But he said, I never knew you. Why? Because you were working to get a reward. And the Bible says, that's not how you do it. He said, you're going to be diligently seeking him out because your sustenance or the thing that you're coming to realize is that that gives you communion with him. Prayer, and I'm praying, and I go to God in prayer, and I pray without ceasing, as the Bible tells me, because I'm entering into communion with my Heavenly Father. Communion brings me the authority that I need in the Word of God by the Spirit of God to defeat the enemy in my life. Don't let the enemy deceive you. You say, well, I'm sick now. I got to go to the doctor. So I better get myself into church and I better start praying. And that sickness may have drove you to God, but I want you to know that he wants your heart and your intention to turn toward seeking him and knowing and understanding him. Not because he's going to heal me. He'll divide that. He'll split that hair right in half, because you must. You and I must. Now listen to this. This was my second point last week, and I'll just tell you it again. I didn't get to get anything else out. You and I, because we are Christians, because we are those who are sold out to him, the things that we are doing, the good deeds that we are doing, the going into praise and worship, doing things in the body of Christ, loving people, blah, blah, blah. We are doing those things not for a reward, but we are doing those things because of who we are. I'm doing them because I'm a child of God. See, I didn't quite understand why Sherry did not attack these people who were attacking her. Attack them, kick them, scream, yell, go to the HR and report them. And she would not. Why wouldn't she? Because she is operating in who she is. She is a child of the Most High God. God says, vengeance is mine. So you love them because that's what we do. That's what we do, Shimei. We love them. But they're hurting me. They're attacking me. He said, he didn't say that. That wouldn't happen. He said, you shall receive what? all the, I can't remember the scripture that talks about you receive with persecution. You can receive the good and all the things that God wants for you to have with persecution. You're gonna those things out. They are persecuting you for righteousness' sake. You can't get away from righteousness because God has made you that. That's what we are. That's what he's called us to be. He's called us to be his very children. We are people of God. We are like God. And some of us are very proud of that. I'm like God. And because I'm like God, the enemy is going to start picking on me, steal that anointing, persecuting me. Remember the thing that in the epistles, Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh. If you do a study on thorns all throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, thorns were persecutors, people that were coming out against him. And Paul talked about it through the Acts. There were people everywhere he went that came out and was just, what are you doing here? Talking out that trash about Jesus. Blah, blah, blah. He had thorns in his flesh. He said, God, remove those thorns. God said, I can't move because the enemy is going to go to and fro throughout the earth seeking to whom he may devour. That's his job until Jesus comes. So you and I, under God, this is the reason I wanted to get more into it, but I can't. The reason why we sometimes are attacked, sometimes why sickness comes on us, sometimes why we fall into a trial, our finances go low and we have to start doing something else, or our children get all out of whack and blah, 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 whatever you want to call it. It's because we are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. But know this, and you won't sink back into the enemy. Now, some of us sink back. We'll start saying, oh, man, I must have sinned. I sinned. We go fall down in sackcloth and ashes and try to find out where the sin came from. You know, we'll waste time because we think that something's up wrong with us. I want you to already know, and I'm going to tell you right now, something's already wrong with you. So you already know that now. So you can remember that when that goes to Curtis, says something's already wrong with me. So now I can just go to God because I know there's something already wrong with me. Let go to God and God can fix me, right? Fix me as well as fix my situation and whatever he wants. And you go, this sounds like crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. I want you to understand this because if we get off, this is how the enemy deludes you and draws you away from what is right. And you can fall down and go down a rabbit trail and get shipwrecked, as Paul would say. He'll shipwreck your Christian life. You get stuck in a way and you go, I'm just stuck. I don't know how to get out. I want to unstuck you today. Get your face, get your eyes, get your mind set on Jesus. Start reading your word. You don't have the Holy Ghost. God, get the Holy Ghost. Get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Start speaking in tongues and praying. And I'm telling you, you're going to come out on the top of this life in this time. God is looking for his body, his church, to rise up to be the body of Christ. Right? And to be the body of Christ, we have to be victorious. We can't be these little guys down here struggling all the time and rolling around in the mud and, you know, doing all kind of crazy stuff. We got to stand up above that mud. I might, you know, even if you got one leg, you got one eye, you got, I don't know, hair cut on one side of your face. I don't care. Whatever way, you need to stand up in God. He'll make you whole. But you got to stand up in him. Jesus, I got to go to Jesus. I got to keep going to Jesus. I don't care how many times I get knocked down. I got to keep going back to Jesus. I got to keep going back to Jesus. I got to get back in the Word. I got to keep reading. I got to keep studying. I got to keep understanding what's going on. Father, bring it to me. Help me understand so that I can walk the life that you want me and be obedient to the thing you call me to be. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done. Pastor, I have been studying Job's life. And you all, I was going to minister that this morning. And Job was one who was called righteous by God. If you remember the story, God told Satan. Satan was looking, you know, to do something. And God said, hey, have you considered my servant, my righteous servant Saul? He's down there. He's a righteous man. So God considered him to be righteous. And now Saul, and Job considered himself also to be righteous. He said, I'm a righteous man. I'm doing things right. So when he got struck with affliction, calamity, adversity hit him, all his friends came. They said, You sinned. You sinned, brother. Where is that sin? You hid it. You hid it from us. It's somewhere looping down wherever. And Joe was like, yeah, you guys, you worthless friends. I ain't done none of that. I done this. And he started, and this is what he did that caused him to have to learn a lesson. He started complaining to God. Because he said, God, you treat me like an evil person. I don't think I done anything wrong. And you sitting here to do it, I mean, you should have, he complained to God. I read it, and I was like, oh my God. And I said, even though God had said he was righteous, and even though we can say we're righteous, when stuff comes, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. He was persecuted because he was doing everything right. Because he was under the understanding that he was falling off the word of God and falling off the God. Persecution came, like it will come with us. And we have to stand in a place that's greater than where Job stood. Not complain, but begin to proclaim the goodness of our God. Because God will deliver them. If you think about it, all through the Old Testament, that was what was happening. The children of Israel would be righteous. They would be doing things right. And then all of a sudden, they would fall into sin, right? Go back and worship other gods. And God would come back, deliver them, set them on the right spot. He was doing it over and over and over and over again. If he would do it over and over and over again for them who were unrighteous, why wouldn't he do it for us who are righteous? Come on. He's not going to leave you and let you go away that easily. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to give out your word and to give us understanding by your spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that we all here have ears to hear. And Father God, we are hearing what you're saying. I thank you, Father God, that you're helping us, Father God, be more like you. I thank you, Father God, that you are the greatest, most magnificent, Father God, person, being there ever is, Lord God. We want to glorify and praise your name, for we know that you've set forth a work in the earth in us, that we will walk like you, Father God, to determine, Father God, that this world belongs to you, Lord God, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. That again, Father God, we face, Father God, the strategies of the enemy, the wiles of the devil, Father God, his devouring way, as he appears as an angel of light, Father God, we thank you that you are able to help us to discern, Father God, and to move past him, Father God, to defeat him, put him under our feet, that we may walk, Father God, in the place where you desire for us to walk. We know that he comes, Father, dressed like us. We know that he comes, Father God, looking like us. We know, Father God, that he is, Father God, sometimes even in our family, Lord God, or on our jobs, Lord God, that he's, Father God, disguising himself, Father God, in these different ways. We thank you that we see his strategy. We take, Father, the whole armor of God, and we stand therefore, and we pray, Father God, for their deliverance, Lord God, and for the glorious work that you set before us to come to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. I love you. I hope you received some good word this morning from the Spirit of God. Amen.